Well, welcome and God bless you to our series on Know Your Bible and how important it is for each and every one of us to know this blessed book that God has given to His people to lead us from earth to heaven, to be that light upon our feet and that light upon our path, giving us a vision of that which is to come, and also to ensure that each step of our earthly walk will be taken in safety, and we shall not trip nor fall, but we will walk with that assurance that only God can give us, and we would have it as we walk in the knowledge of His ways, which are developed in the Bible. Now then, we are going to look at the book of Obadiah. And I'm very sure that the book of Obadiah is not the best known book in churches or for you. The book of Obadiah is only 21 verses. But in those 21 verses, God has packed through the lips of Obadiah such glorious treasures, and we want to look at them together. Well, basically, to give you the background to Obadiah, he prophesied in the reign of King Joash, king of Judah. And that was a time when Israel had suffered greatly, and Jerusalem in particular, from their enemies around them. And it was because of this that they had become very impoverished. Their enemies were rejoicing, having spoiled Jerusalem. And this was the Philistines and the Arabians, even from Ethiopia, you know, right down the south. They'd come up and they had raided and ravaged Jerusalem. And it happened in the reign of Jehoram, who was the son of the righteous king, Jehoshaphat. Now, it's important to know the history so that we can have the interpretation of the book. And so this is what happened. Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. And Jehoshaphat, you know, had raised up teachers of righteousness. They had gone throughout the kingdom of Judah, throughout the city of Jerusalem. They had taught the ways of God. But there was a problem. Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Ahab, king of Israel, and that alliance had ruined the kingdom because his son, Jehoram, married Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And I think everybody's heard of Jezebel. Perhaps not known who Jezebel was, but she was a queen. She was not an Israelite. She came from Sidon. She came from a heathen royal family and married Ahab, which he should never have done. Well, the result was they had a daughter, Athaliah. But Jehoshaphat, the righteous king, you know, when Ahab said, "Will you help me fight the Syrians?" You know, Jehoshaphat said, "Well, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. My people is your people." What was he saying? He was saying this to a very unrighteous man. Well, the result was, you see, this affinity that Jehoshaphat had with Ahab, and then with his son Ahaziah, and then with his other son who became king, Jehoram, after that, he continued that alliance. Well, the result was that his own son, Jehoram, king of Judah, you know, married Athaliah. And when Jehoshaphat died, you see, Jehoram went and slew all his brothers. And he led the country into fornication, caused them to commit fornication, raised up all idols everywhere. And the result was God raised up these Arabians, the Philistines, and also Edom. And the result was they took away all his wives, all his sons, except one who was hidden. And he lost everything. And he died, you know, in a terrible disease. His bowels fell out of his body. Well, now, that was the scenario in which Obadiah prophesied. He prophesied in the reign of the son of Jehoram. And his prophecy is devoted almost uniquely against Esau or Edom. And they were those that rejoiced when the Arabians and Philistines broke through into Jerusalem. And also, another thing is this, that they, instead of protecting those who fled from the Arabians and the Philistines, when they crossed over into their own country, a country of Edom, you see, the Edomites killed them. The Edomites also gave them back to the Arabians and the Philistines instead of looking after them. And so we're going to look at a nation, you see, which is very pertinent for us today, for Edom forms part of the kingdom of Jordan, a Muslim state. And we are going to see, you see, God's judgments that came and are coming are from Edom. Now, who is Edom? Well, it was founded by Esau. And who is Esau? Well, he's the son and twin brother of Jacob, son of Isaac, and twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest. Esau, therefore, had the birthright, meaning that he would inherit the promises that were made to Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. But Esau was a fornicator. He committed fornication. He also was, if I could say this, one who despised the things of God. And therefore, when he came in from the field, worn out, and Jacob had some soup, he said, "Let me have some of your soup." Jacob, who was somewhat of a deceiver, but also one who was very pious and wanted the things of God, he said, "Sell me your birthright, I'll give you the mess of pottage." Esau said, "Well, what good is my birthright?" He said, "I'm well nigh fainting to death, you see." And he said, "Yes, I'll sell it." Well, he counted the things of God so lightly. And the result was Jacob got the blessing, got the birthright, and he inherited, along with Isaac and Abraham, the covenant that God had promised to them, which was to have the whole land of Israel, as we call it today. Well, now, Esau afterwards realized what he had lost, and he wanted it back. And he sought it earnestly with tears, but he found no place for repentance. Because repentance is a gift of God. And God simply would not give repentance or allow Esau to come back into the promises of God. Now, Esau represents people who have been rejected because of their lifestyle. And really, the Arab world is in a state of rejection because God has rejected them. They come from Ishmael. God rejected Ishmael. He would not allow Ishmael to come into the covenant of God. Esau could find no place of repentance. And they are all, if I could say this, you know, in the same conglomeration of people. Here they are. They could have inherited. But because of their choices, they did not. You say, well, what about Ishmael? Well, Ishmael mocked the things of God. And the result is that God has rejected them. And you know, people who are rejected, for example, in cases of divorce, you know, perhaps the husband divorces the wife, and the wife feels that terrible rejection. It has an awful impact upon her life and upon her character. And she feels it to the end of her life unless she meets God and God takes away that sense of rejection. But here, Esau is rejected. Now then, I want you to see what the fruits of rejection are. Fruits of rejection are. And in verse 10, it speaks of the fact that he had violence against Jacob. He hated him. You know, elsewhere we're told that Esau's anger against Israel burnt for all generations. And that's why there's this tremendous anger amongst the Arab nations against Israel. Because Israel has the promises. They have been rejected by God. And they sense that rejection. And they're rejected because of their lifestyle. What's the lifestyle of Esau? Well, the lifestyle of Esau was fornication. And also, you see, they rejected Christ. They rejected, if I could say this, the ways of God. They couldn't get back. Now then, we're going to look at the character of Esau from the viewpoint of Obadiah. And first of all, he says in verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. It's interesting that instead of brokenness and humility, those that are rejected become very proud. And that pride deceives them. And so here you have the thought, Esau is deceived. Esau is deceived. And also, they have a tendency to build in the rock. And they have a tendency of saying, you know, who shall bring me down to the ground? Somehow, they, if I could say this, they feel that their houses are impregnable. Nothing can overthrow them. And that indeed, they are going to triumph in every situation. And God said, oh no, you're not. He said, I am going to bring you down. And the result was, of course, that in centuries past, that has happened. But we move on. And God is saying to them, you know, I am going to destroy your wisdom in verse 8. Now, it's a very interesting fact that there was a certain city in Edom was called Teman. And those people were renowned for their wisdom, renowned for their wisdom. And that was one of the, shall I say, reasons for the pride of Edom. They had earthly wisdom. And they were renowned for that wisdom. And God said, I'm going to bring that wisdom down. I'm going to destroy your understanding. It's a terrible thing, you know, when God comes against a person's mind and causes them to do foolish things. You know, wisdom is a gift from God. And, you know, when you have wisdom, you make the right choices. Your life is very fulfilled because you're walking on the right path and you enjoy the fruits of those righteousness. You enjoy the fruits of right choices. And that is a blessing from God. You know, King David said to King Solomon, you know, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom. And throughout the book of Proverbs and also Ecclesiastes, Solomon lauds wisdom. He lifts up wisdom. He said, look, this is what you should get. It's better than gold. It's better than silver. Because it will cause you to live a very satisfying life. And Christ is the personification of wisdom. And he says this, all those that love me, I love. And so those that seek wisdom and are wise, you know, are beloved of God. And God loves them because he is wisdom. And he says, a wise son glorifieth the father. Now then, what about Esau? God says, because of your iniquity, because of your unforgiveness against Jacob, because of your violence, because of your anger, I'm going to take wisdom from you. I'm going to take it from you. So instead of being controlled by wisdom and making right choices, your life is going to be a life whereby you are constantly going to make the wrong choices. You know, we don't know when our life is going to be required. But recently we heard of a man who was in his 40s, and he just died. But do you know what is said of that man? He made a number of wrong choices in his life. Wasn't that terrible? To look back on your life and realize that your life is a life of wrong choices. And because of those wrong choices, you are suffering today. You know, we are what we are because of our choices. But what a terrible thing to look back on our life and realize we are in this misery because of wrong choices that we have made. Now, James says, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And so God is saying to us, he said, look, he said, you ask of me, I'll give you wisdom, you'll make right choices. But whoa, look at this, Esau. God said, I'm going to take away from you wisdom. I'm going to take away from you understanding. And the result is, you're going to have a futile life where you're going to use all your energies in the wrong way and along the wrong path. And the result is, of course, Esau spends his time in living in hatred of Israel. And his one desire is to overthrow Israel. Well, there you are, you see. And God says, all right, because of that, you know, I'm going to make you very small. I'm going to destroy you. And one of the things, you know, that we've already mentioned is this. You see, that in verse 13, he said, "Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity." And what he's speaking of is that which we've spoken of already. You know, the Arabians and the Philistines coming, ransacking Jerusalem. The Edomites heard about it. The result was they raced up, crossed over Jordan, raced up the mountains that surround Jerusalem, came to Jerusalem, and they danced, they sang, they were so happy, and they took all the substance that they could from their brother Jacob, whom they should have defended. The result is, God said, "You do that. What you sow, you reap. And how you've treated Jacob, I'm going to treat you." That's it. In effect, it's what God said. You spoil them, I'm spoiling you. And so, God is saying, "Well, I'm going to raise up enemies. We're going to ransack you too." And, earlier on, he's speaking of thieves. You know, it's very interesting about a thief. He'll take all that he can get, you see. But obviously, he'll leave some. He can't take everything from a house. Well, God said, "Look," he said, "when I'm finished with you," he said, "you'll have nothing, absolutely nothing left. That's how I'm going to deal with you." And so it continues. He said, "You drank on my holy mountain." So, I'm speaking from verse 16 now. "So shall the heathen drink continually. They shall drink, and they shall drink on your mountain." And then God turns, and it's a picture of what's going to happen in the last days. But he turns now from Edom, who's on the eastern side of Jordan, down to the southeast. He then turns and, as it were, looks at Jerusalem, and in particular, Mount Zion. And then he declares what he's going to do for Jacob, his beloved, the one who chose God. And so God chose him. And it says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be," you know, "such holiness there." He said, "I'm going to transform Israel. This is going to be the holy place, Jerusalem, the holy city." And he said, "Now I'm going to fulfill all my good promises to Jacob." Jacob, or Israel, chose the things that were pleasing to me. And he said, "Although I have judged them because of their sinfulness," he said, "the time is now coming when I am going to cause Israel to inhabit all her possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be as a fire, the house of Joseph shall be a flame, and Esau," all these Arabs, you know, "shall be a stubble, and God shall absolutely burn them up when he returns upon the Mount of Olives to defend Jerusalem when all the Arab nations are around her." God said, "When I return, they will be a stubble. They will be burnt up in the day of my judgment." And so I want to encourage you, you know, to realize that we come out on top in the end. And there we are, you see. "And there shall be not anything remaining of the house of Esau." Why? "For the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord governs, the Lord reigns. He is the King of Kings, and everything that he has declared shall come to pass. He has declared that Esau shall be stubble and shall be consumed, and that the captivity of Israel shall be turned, and the result will be that they will possess their land again, and they shall triumph gloriously. And then it says in verse 21, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. In other words, God says, look, he said, when I return, I'm going to give such strength to Israel that they're going to obliterate their enemies around them, for I will fight with them. And then he goes on to conclude, he said, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. May I encourage you, dear ones, to study the book of Obadiah, to realize it gives such hope to Israel, but it also gives such hope to us, because we might be troubled by spiritual Esau. We might be troubled by others. But if we will walk uprightly before God, choose those things that please him, God in due time will come forth on our behalf, and we will triumph. We will triumph over our enemies. So I want to encourage you. You know, God will fight for us as we will walk in his ways. And that applies in every little detail of your life. God bless you.